Okay, so what we decided last week we were going to do, even though Mrs. Rabinowitz is not here, but she wanted to do something in the kitchen. So we're first going to just finish up the halachos of Mlava Malka, and then we'll hopefully get to other halachos of Hachana, preparing for after Shabbos, which will hopefully we'll get to the halachos of washing dishes on Shabbos, which dishes are allowed to be washed on Shabbos, which ones not. So let's just spend a few minutes just to finish up the positive commandments of Shabbos. Just wanted to discuss a few minutes about Mlava Malka. So Mlava Malka, which Malka means the queen, because Shabbos is the queen, and Mlava means to escort. So it's brought, the Shulchan Aruch brings, that it's a very special mitzvah to have a small seuda to honor the queen, to escort the queen following Shabbos. After Shabbos is over, after a person makes Havdalah, it's nice to escort the queen, it's a mitzvah to have a Mlava Malka. Now, if a person is very, very full, if they know going into Shalosh Shudas that they're very full and they're not going to be able to eat both Shalosh Shudas and Mlava Malka, so Shalosh Shudas is definitely more important than Mlava Malka. But I think, generally speaking, we're able to, just like we discussed some other weeks, we're just eating a kazayis of bread. Basically, for Shalosh Shudas, you don't necessarily have to eat much more than that. Perhaps a little bit of fish, a little bit of meat, like we discussed, that it's nice to have. But a person should be able to manage to have both Shalosh Shudas, you know, generally speaking, both Shalosh Shudas and Mlava Malka. The Vilna Gaon was very makbid to have Mlava Malka, and even for his wife, it's brought down that women also should have Mlava Malka. And the Vilna Gaon, one time, he noticed that his wife went to sleep after Shabbos, and he woke her up, and he said, "You didn't eat Mlava Malka, it's time to eat Mlava Malka." And she said, "No, I accepted a fast upon myself." She was Makabel Tainis. Obviously, she was a big tzaddikas, she was married to the Vilna Gaon. And he said, "No, you should break your fast." He says, "Because even one Mlava Malka is more special than any, however many fasts you could accept upon yourself." So we see that it's considered very, very special to have a Mlava Malka on Matzah Shabbos. For women, there's an extra plus, that it's brought down that the Rebbe Lobel Melech of Lezhensk, the Naim Elim Melech, says it's a segula for easy childbirth. Yeah, it's brought down, and it's something that I had heard. I did not know who was the one who had said it, but then I found that it was the Naim Elim Melech. It's a segula for easy childbirth, so that's an added plus for women. And the Mishnah Brura brings some halachos that are really not so simple from Mlava Malka. From what I find, maybe I'm wrong, but from what I find throughout, you know, many families, many from Orthodox families, that people are very lenient when it comes to Mlava Malka. Meaning, yeah, maybe you'll go out for pizza if you're interested, but if it's on a late Shabbos and like Shabbos ends at 9:30, people don't have Mlava Malka. They just ate Shalosh Shudas, and a lot of people, you know, are very lenient when it comes to Mlava Malka. Maybe we'll find a reason why that's the case. But the Mishnah Brura says, according to the letter of the law, a person should wash for Mlava Malka. A person should have, we paskin, you don't have to have Lechem Mishnah, but a person should wash and have Mlava Malka. There are those that say that you should have meat. Mishnah Berurah even brings you should have meat, you should have something special. There are people that are very machmir to sit down by the table with the Shabbos tablecloth, even the Mishnah Berurah says, and to keep on your Shabbos clothes until after Mlava Malka at least. And people, and Mishnah Berurah and others say many things that we find many people do not do, but it is considered something special. I know people that are very makbid on having Mlava Malka, to sit, to have something special in honor of Mlava Malka. Like we said, it's preferable to wash, Mishnah Berurah says to wash. If a person really feels that they can't wash, or they really don't have interest, at least they should have something mizonos, or a fruit, and you know, chances are you're going to eat something anyway on Matzah Shabbos, even if a person is going to feel that they can't wash, but it is nice to have something, maybe a mizonos. A lot of times, I don't end up washing, but if I end up having a cookie or something like that, I'll have in mind, this is for my Mlava Malka. Sometimes I will wash on Matzah Shabbos, but if I don't, at least I have in mind that, you know, the cookie that I have an apple or something to have in mind for Mlava Malka. There are those that are makbid not only to wear their Shabbos clothes until after they eat Mlava Malka, but even to wear their Shabbos clothes the entire Matzah Shabbos. Not to just change into your weekday clothes. You notice, and those, you know, if you're ever in Eretz Yisrael, the Hasidim, or if you're in Borough Park or Williamsburg, they wear their shtraim of the whole Matzah Shabbos. If they go out on Matzah Shabbos, there's some type of event or something, they wear their shtraim of the whole Matzah Shabbos, all their Shabbos clothes. I know myself, when I go check a baby on Matzah Shabbos, I wear my Shabbos shoes and my Shabbos hat, even though I'm just going to family's house, that I don't necessarily wear my Shabbos clothes every time I go check a baby before Bris or after Bris, but Matzah Shabbos, you know, we keep, usually, it's considered special to keep on your Shabbos clothes. Now, if you're going to be doing dirty work, you know, Matzah Shabbos is your time to clean out the attic, and you're going to be doing dishes, and you're getting dirty, so fine. Maybe, you know, definitely, it's not like on Shabbos itself that it's even more important to wear your Shabbos clothes on Shabbos, but, you know, if a person is doing something that they don't want to get dirty, so then fine. You know, let's say they're going out to an event, I know, you know, to some, you know, speech or something, and they want to get a fresh pair of clothing, so fine. It's also permitted. Perhaps you wear something maybe extra nice because it's Matzah Shabbos, but all things being equal, you should preferably, you know, stay in nice clothes, at least Shabbos clothes. It doesn't have to be the same Shabbos clothes you wore today, but Shabbos clothes throughout Matzah Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah brings, it could be, this is something that you've heard of, that there's a certain limb in the body, it's on the bottom of the spine, that only gets nourished from Malava Malka. I mean, the only food that limb in the body gets nourished from is only the food that a person eats during Malava Malka. He says, therefore, the Mishnah Berurah brings the message that therefore this limb, you can figure it out yourself, never got pleasure from the Eitz Hadas. That when Adam and Chava, right, they sinned, I think we discussed this last week or 2 weeks ago, we discussed it last week by Havdalah, that why women do not drink from the Havdalah wine, because one of the opinions was that the Eitz Hadas was from grapes, so Chava was one of the main ones, was the main one who did the Avera of the Eitz Hadas, so that Avera took place on Friday afternoon. So of course, if this bone only gets sustenance from any foods eaten only by Mava Malka, so then this bone did not take part in the Eitz Hadas, in the Avera of eating from the tree. Therefore, after a person dies and the body withers away in the grave, that bone never withers away. That bone doesn't decay, because it never was included in the curse of, after Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, so Hashem cursed them that there now death is going to be brought into the world and the body will decay, etc., etc. But that bone was never in the curse, because that bone never had any sustenance from the Eitz Hadas. Therefore, when Tchiyas HaMesim comes, when B'meher B'yameinu Mashiach comes and there's going to be Tchiyas HaMesim, a person's body will regenerate from that limb, because that limb is still existing in a person's grave. So it's considered very, very chashuv, the mitzvah of Mlava Malka. And again, like I said before, definitely it should not be left out for no reason at all. But a person should try, preferably, to wash. If they can't wash, to have perhaps some meat. If you don't mind having more meat and you have some chicken left over from Shabbos or some meat left over from Shabbos, it is definitely something that should not be taken lightly. One reason perhaps why we find, I think some people are very lax in Malava Malka, even though we're all usually generally very makbid about all the other halachos, is the Eli Rabba says that if a person's shalashuddis carried on past sunset, past shkia, then that could be sufficient for Malava Malka. Because even though that was my third meal, it wasn't my fourth meal of Shabbos, it was my third meal. But since it did carry on after sunset, after Shkia, so then we say that that's, you know, almost as if also that was Malava Malka. There are plenty of people that say not like that. But that is something that the Eli Rabba says. The Eli Rabba was one of the Gedolei HaPaiskim. He was one of the great Paiskim that we rely on. Mr. Brewer quotes him many, many, many times. So perhaps, maybe, you know, that's where it developed, that people are lax by Malava Malka. That's just my own idea. Perhaps, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. But that's something just to keep in mind. When somebody, just yesterday, a girl asked me in class, even though I wasn't teaching these halachas from Lava Malka, but she asked, she raised her hand, she had a question. If a person does wash for Lava Malka, and then they bench, so by benching on Shabbos, besides that, we discussed halachas, you add ritzei, but at the end of benching, you'll notice that during the week we say magdil, Yigdush Vois Makor, and on Shabbos we say Migdol. So she wanted to know, if someone washes by Mlava Malka, do you say Magdil or Migdol? So I looked up, and the Shmuel Shabbos Chachos brings from the Kaf HaChaim and also the Ben Ishchai and others, they say that you should say Migdol, like it's on Shabbos. Because the idea is, I would not have assumed that, and I think that every time I wash from Mlava Malka, I said Magdil, like on the weekday, but the Paiskim are saying to say Migdol. And the reason is, of course, you can understand, once you see that they say that, the understanding is that this is a continuation of Shabbos, however you want to phrase it. It's escorting the queen away and sending her off from after Shabbos, so there is some type of connection for Shabbos. It is considered chashuv, and therefore the Paiskim say you should say Migdol. The truth is, Shir Malos is really, there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov as far as that. Really what it says is that during the week, on Shabbos you should say Shir Malos, right? And during the week you should say Al Naras Bavel. Now, we generally do not say Al Naras Bavel during the week. There are camps that have that during the 9 days because it talks about, you know, the Churban. But on Matzah Shabbos, I would have to check. I'm not sure if that's the same halachas of Shabbos as saying Shir Malos. I would guess. If it's Migdol, if it's okay. The same halachas of Migdol then a Shabbos, then, you know, quite possibly. No, we do not say Ritzay. No, the Ritzay not. Okay. So I think it's a great accomplishment that what we've done, Baruch Hashem, in the past few months, that we've gone through many halachos of the positive commandments of Shabbos. Of course, it was impossible to cover every iota of all the halachos that we learned, but a lot of the basic halachos we learned, and, you know, it's great, and it's, we should, like, make a siyum, you know, like boys make a siyum when they finish a mesechta. You know, we're really finishing a lot of the positive commandments of Shabbos. It's really special. But obviously, there's many more halachos to learn of Shabbos and of other halachos. So really, Torah is never finished. So what we're going to discuss now is the halachos of hachana, of preparation. Hachana means to prepare. Now there's an iser. This prohibition is only prohibited midrabbanan. It's only forbidden rabbinically. It's not one of the lametes malachos. The lametes malachos means the 39 forbidden malachos of Shabbos, like cooking and borer and grinding and tochen and all things like that. This is just an iser midrabbanan of preparing. And the reason why the rabbanan made up this halacha, this avera, is because it's considered improper to, on Shabbos, take care of my after Shabbos needs. If I'm busy on Shabbos for taking care of things for after Shabbos, so that's considered a disgrace. It's considered putting down Shabbos, that I'm busy on Shabbos for my after Shabbos needs. So, really, this prohibition of hachana is really like a subcategory of what we call tircha. Tircha means bother or trouble. And the halacha is something that I'm sure that you know of, is that if I do something that's very strenuous on Shabbos or Yom Tov, that's not allowed. Meaning, I'm not allowed to clean out my garage or clean out my attic on Shabbos, even if, let's say, I'm not going to touch any mukzah things, and let's say there's an Erev, so I don't have to worry about my garage, you know, there's something to working extra hard on Shabbos or Yom Tov, schlepping. You want to move around the couches and the chairs and the tables and the dining, everything in your house. So that's not supposed to be done on Shabbos. So hachana is really like a subcategory of that. That we say that if you're doing this for after Shabbos, so then you are doing extra bother on Shabbos for after Shabbos. And that's considered not appropriate. To alleviate your after Shabbos responsibilities, that's considered bother for not a proper reason, and therefore that's considered that is forbidden on a derabbanan level. So one important halacha for hachana, which a lot of people do not realize, is that the isra of hachana is even by things that are totally permitted on Shabbos. Things that I didn't do anything wrong on Shabbos. It wasn't a prohibition at all on Shabbos. But since it was for the purpose of after Shabbos, that's the problem of hachana. Meaning, let's say I'm going on a trip. Let's say I'm going to Las Vegas. And my flight leaves Matzah Shabbos. Right? Did it leave Matzah Shabbos? No. So if a person is going on a trip, Matzah Shabbos, and they know they're going to be rushing, they're going to run to the airport right after Shabbos. So Shabbos afternoon, they just take a few things out of their drawer and they just put it on their bed. They'll pack after Shabbos is over, but they still want to take out a few things that they couldn't pack before because they needed it on Shabbos. So there's nothing wrong. I didn't do anything wrong with taking things out of my drawer and putting it on my bed, but that's a problem of hachana. That's a problem of preparing for after Shabbos. It's totally something that you would think is totally permitted. It's not like I did any iser, but we say that yes, that is an iser of hachana for preparing for after Shabbos. I think when we discussed the halachos of Shalosh Shudas a couple weeks ago, it could be it surfaced as far as cleaning off the table of Shalosh Shudas. Now, when I eat my seuda on Shabbos day, so I need the table clear for when I'm going to eat Shalosh Shudas, or perhaps when my kids have Shabbos party, or if I want the table in the afternoon to play a game with my children. But by Shalosh Shudas time, my husband already went to shul. So the table, yes, the table is a mess, we all know, but why am I cleaning up the table? If I'm cleaning up the table from Shalosh Shudas, from my third meal on Shabbos, just because I want to get a head start on my after Shabbos cleaning, then that's not allowed. That's considered hachana. If honestly, you're looking at the table, and the table is just a mess. And it just bothers me that the table is such a mess, even though my husband's coming home in about 15, 20 minutes, it's not such a big deal. But if a person is honestly that type of person, that the table being a mess really bothers them, then that's considered a Shabbos need. And then that's permitted. That's allowed. But if it's really just to get a head start on your after Shabbos cleaning, so then that is considered preparing for after Shabbos, and it's not allowed. And that's not just the case with cleaning the Shabbos table by Shalosh Shudas. Let's say the playroom. The kids play in the playroom and it's a mess. So after Shabbos, you know you're going to clean it. But you have a lot to do after Shabbos. So you want to start already cleaning the den on Shabbos, cleaning the playroom on Shabbos. So now if the truth is that you want your kids to clean it up now, and because they're going to go to sleep before Shabbos is over, and they're the ones who have to clean it, so fine. That's your chinuch, that they have to be the ones to clean it, which is great. So then I could understand that that's something that needs to be done now. Or let's say the playroom is a mess and you can't use the playroom. You still want to be able to play, or you're having guests come over and it's embarrassing that the playroom is such a mess. So that's considered a Shabbos need for now. But if the truth is you're doing it just for after Shabbos, then that would not be allowed. Ice cubes. Right, it's a big discussion if you're allowed to make ice cubes on Shabbos. We won't get into those halachos right now. Those are other halachos as far as molid. But let's assume for a second you're allowed to make ice cubes on Shabbos. Definitely there are plenty of places, including Rav Moshe Feinstein, that says you're allowed to make ice cubes on Shabbos. Person has to keep in mind, when do we usually make ice cubes? I ask anybody here, I guarantee, when do you make your ice cubes? Not when you know you need ice cubes. You make your ice cubes when you finish a tray. So then, I have an empty tray. What am I going to do with it? So why should I put it back in the freezer empty? Let me just fill it up with water. I'll put it back in the freezer. And then whenever I need ice cubes, I'll have more ice cubes. If a person can't do that on Shabbos. If you serve Shabbos day, you take the ice cubes out of the freezer, you open them, you put them into a bucket, and then you're having this empty tray. If you fill it up with water and put it back in the freezer, those ice cubes are not going to be used on Shabbos, and therefore that is hachana. That's a problem. A lot of people just do it instinctively, but that's not allowed on Shabbos.
You could do it Friday night for Shabbos lunch.
Definitely, 100%. If you could definitely do it Friday night if you plan on using it for Shabbos lunch, and I would say even if you may need it Shabbos lunch, you're allowed to, but for Shabbos lunch, so if you may need it for Shalosh Shudas, also you're allowed to. But if you're going to be doing it and you're not going to be using it on Shabbos, then that's something to keep in mind, that a person has to be careful. But yes, 100% right. If you're doing it, you could do it Friday night for Shabbos day. It's not like borer that needs to be done for immediate use or anything like that. It's just can't be done for after Shabbos.
And cleaning the table in Shalosh Shudas, you can put away food that might spoil.
Oh, excellent. Right. So we're going to get to that. So we'll jump to that now. Anything that is necessary to be done now, not because I want to save time for after Shabbos, but because right now it's going to get spoiled. Meaning, let's say, now keep in mind, probably, quite possibly, it has to be that it will get spoiled or start to spoil before Shabbos is over, because I could do it really after Shabbos. But let's say you have something that, you know, 20, 30 minutes out of the fridge would really make a difference. So then, yes, 100%, you're allowed to put it away now, because that's not considered, zilzal to Shabbos, to, you know, degrading the Shabbos, because I'm doing this for now, because it's going to spoil, it's going to start to spoil right now. So let's say I have something outside of my backyard, and it started to rain, and it's getting ruined in the rain. Let's say there's an Erev, so it's not a problem. So it's getting ruined in the rain. I'm allowed to take it in on Shabbos, even though I don't need it on Shabbos, but since it's getting ruined, or like your example, it's getting spoiled, so that is permitted, because I'm not doing it just to save time for after Shabbos. I'm doing it to save something that's getting ruined right now. It needs to be done now, so therefore that's not considered a problem of preparation, problem of hachana. If the act is let's jump to something else first. Pajamas, right? Can you get your kids in pajamas on Shabbos when they're going to be going to sleep after Shabbos? Ever think of that? You're getting your kids to sleep, you're putting your kids in pajamas on Shabbos before Havdalah. Then, let's say they'll stay up for Havdalah, whatever time Havdalah is, the kids stay up for Havdalah. And then you put them to sleep after Shabbos. So I was always wondering about that. And I was always embarrassed to ask anybody, because like, what a silly question. I'm saying like I figured, okay, there must be mutter, you know, like, hey, how could I not get my kids in pajamas? I asked a Rav, because we were talking about something else, and he said, yeah, Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about it. I was like, no way, I can't believe it. Mm-hmm. Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about it in Rav Moshe Sefer, Igros Moshe, he discusses it, and it's exactly what he talks about. Can you get your kids in pajamas on Shabbos if they're going to be going to sleep after Shabbos? And what he says is the following. He says that if you're the type of person, which there are plenty of people like this, if you're the type of person that you don't just get your kids in pajamas and put them straight into bed. First, you They get them a pajama, then yeah, perhaps they play a little bit, and they read a book, and you know, they get used to the idea that, you know, whether they like it or not, it's time to go to sleep. He says, so then that's all part of the process. Then you're allowed to do that on Shabbos, because that's all part of the process. You don't get them to put them in pajamas immediately right before you put them in bed. You get them in pajamas, and then for a while they hang around the house, they run around in their pajamas, and then they calm down, they slow down, and then they're able to go to sleep. So Moshe Feinstein says, if that's what you do usually, that's great. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos, even though they're going to go to sleep after Shabbos. Because the putting to sleep process, which hopefully doesn't take too long, but if it, you know, it takes sometimes, it takes about a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, then Rav Moshe Feinstein says you are allowed to do that. But Rav Moshe Feinstein warns, he says, but if that's not what you usually do, man, your kids are great, they, you know, you put them in pajamas, boom, they go to sleep, and that's it. He says, then you can't. Then you can't, because you're just doing it to save time. You want to be able to put them to sleep. You let them stay up for Avdallah, but you want to be able to put them to sleep immediately after Avdallah. So you're just getting a head start for after Shabbos. Then Moshe Feinstein says it's not allowed. And he doesn't say it straight out allowed, and he doesn't say it straight out not allowed. He says it depends on how you do bedtime. It could be depends on the parents, it could be depends on the kids, but it depends how you usually do bedtime. If that's the way you normally do it, then he says that will be permitted. Otherwise not.
Doesn't summer Shabbos versus winter Shabbos has different issues?
As far as the halacha doesn't change, but it could be just as far as
just
like
as far as your prepared bedtime, I guess, because obviously, let's say for a 9:30 Havdalah,
right?
My kids hopefully will be in bed beforehand, so like
okay. So if they're going to bed before, then they're going to bed still on Shabbos. Then of course that's allowed, because you're getting them in pajamas on Shabbos for going to sleep on Shabbos. So they're going to sleep really on Shabbos. So then that will be permitted.
As opposed to winter, they're really never going to sleep on Shabbos.
Right. So in the winter, they're going to be going to sleep after Havdalah. So the question is, can you get them in pajamas before Havdalah, before Shabbos is over?
So probably don't do.
So again, you don't. If that's the normal way that you do bedtime.
Every day is different.
Every day is different. That hair.
But
I would say that, you know, that's a good point. You know, some people don't have a set schedule. You know, the kids run the show in the house. That's usually the way it works.
I mean, like,
and it depends on how fast homework goes and things like that. How fast supper time went, and you know how the night went on. I would say that if you're the type that, listen, sometimes you do it like that, that you get them in pajamas beforehand, if you're able to, if you have siyata d'shmaya and you're able to, so then I would say that it would be permitted. Because the reason why you're getting them in pajamas now, if the reason why you're getting them in pajamas now is in order for them, this way they're in pajamas and, you know, gets them to slow down, even though you don't necessarily are able to accomplish to do that on every day during the week, but if that's why you're doing it now, it will be allowed. But a person has to be honest with themselves. If they're really not doing it for that, they're really doing it just to get a head start on Matzah Shabbos, they want to be able to put them to bed right away, then, you know, then it will not be allowed. If the act is entirely non-evident that it's for after Shabbos, then it is permitted. What do I mean by that? Meaning, if you're doing something on Shabbos, and in the recesses of your mind, you know that this is really for after Shabbos, but what you're seemingly doing is pretty, doesn't look at all whatsoever that you're doing it for after Shabbos, then that is permitted. Meaning, I'll say a couple examples and you'll be able to understand that. Let's say I have, my car is all the way on the other side of town, because I drove there before Shabbos or something like that. I left my keys over there. So I want to get my car after Shabbos. I have a great idea. Let me go for a late afternoon walk on Shabbos. This way I'm there after Shabbos, and this way I'll be able to get my car immediately after Shabbos. Let's say, whatever, I need to be somewhere very soon after Shabbos. So let me walk there before Shabbos is over. So, but I'm only doing it because of the fact that I want to be there right after Shabbos. So the halacha is that that's mutter. Because since I'm not doing something that's evident that it's for after Shabbos, I'm going for a walk on Shabbos. Plenty of people go for walks on Shabbos, whether it's for a stroll or whether it's because I have a destination I need to go to. So just going for a walk on Shabbos, that is permitted, even though the real purpose why I'm doing it is for an after Shabbos need. Another example, let's say I'm taking a Shabbos afternoon nap. Why? Because I know I'm going somewhere tonight and I'm going to be up very late and I want to be able to have strength tonight. So I'm taking a Shabbos afternoon nap. Now, it's very normal to take a Shabbos afternoon nap. I remember those days when I was able to take a Shabbos afternoon nap. Now, a lot of times, people can't take a Shabbos afternoon nap, but that doesn't change the halacha. It's very normal to take a Shabbos afternoon nap. So even if I am doing it only for the reason of for the purpose tonight, that I should be able to have kayach tonight because I want to drive somewhere or because I'm going to be staying up late or for whatever reason, that is permitted. Because since it's something that's not evident, you're doing it for after Shabbos, it's normal to go for a walk on Shabbos. It's normal to take a nap on Shabbos. That is also permitted. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that you should not say that you're doing it for after Shabbos. Meaning you should not say, I have to go to sleep, you know, beg your wife, you know, beg your husband, can I please be the one to go to sleep today because, you know, I need to stay up tonight very late. You shouldn't say that because that's considered degrading the Shabbos, because even though, yes, it is normal to go to sleep, but you shouldn't say that you're doing it. You shouldn't say it out loud to somebody else, or even out loud to yourself, I guess, but you shouldn't say it out loud to somebody else that you're doing it for after Shabbos. As long as you don't say it, then it's not a problem. If you do say it, so this is a discussion about this, but it seems clear that the halacha is that you still are allowed to go to sleep. If by mistake you do say it, and I spoke to Rabbi Sachs about this, and he said that, he says, if by mistake you say it, then just say it differently. Say, no, I'm really going to sleep for today because I want to take a Shabbos afternoon. If you change your mindset, it doesn't forbid you, but yeah, but once you do say it, it doesn't answer you from going to sleep. But that is something a person should be careful about, that they shouldn't say that they're doing it for after Shabbos. There's different discussions why, but either because it's achana or because it's other problems, stam a zilzol to Shabbos, but a person shouldn't say it out loud. When you make your bed, some people make their bed Shabbos morning. Do you make your bed Shabbos morning? Some people, you do? Okay. So if you do it during the week as well?
Yeah.
If you do it during the week, of course, okay, great. Okay, good, so everybody's different. Okay, fine, great, fantastic. My mother tried to train me like that when I was growing up. I don't know, she wasn't successful. But there's some people that they wake up in the morning, they want to finish, they don't leave the room till they make their bed. So Shabbos morning as well, you're allowed to do that because that's the way you always do it during the week. You like your room to be neat, or at least your bed to be made, so then that's not a problem. If a person's doing it because for some after Shabbos need, like, you know, let's say they're having someone come to their house Matzah Shabbos and they're afraid they're going to see the bedroom and it's going to be messy, so they're doing it for after Shabbos, that would not be allowed. But again, like we said before, if you're doing it for a Shabbos need because that's the way you normally do it, so then also that would be permitted. Hanging up clothing that you don't need anymore on Shabbos. Let's say you come home from shul and you want to change into something more casual. Let's say still Shabbos clothes, but you want to change into something more casual. So you're allowed to hang it up or not. So if you're hanging it up because you just want to get a head start on your matzah Shabbos cleaning, it's not allowed. But similar to what you asked before, if you're hanging it up because the clothing is going to get ruined if it's not hung up. So as far as hanging on the pleats, you're not supposed to hang up on the pleats. But stop hanging up the clothing if it's doing it because it's going to get ruined if you just have it lying around the whole Shabbos, so then that's considered similar to something that gets spoiled, that's going to get ruined for now. You're not doing it to save time for afterwards. That's another example of it depends why it is being done. If it's being done to save it from not getting ruined right now, then also that would be
what the same thing. You always hang your clothes up, you never leave your clothes like laying around,
because it would be like a mess and like it bothers you to have the, yeah, then it's also permitted.
It's like making my bed, right. I always make up my bed,
right? Okay, there are definitely people like that, that they don't like having things laying around, whether it's the bed or the clothes, or, you know, to a certain extent also things on the table by Shalosh Shuddos. If it honestly, if it really bothers you so much so that the table is messy for the next 20 minutes or half hour till your husband comes home from shul, also technically you would be permitted to do it.
So even non-perishable items, you're saying,
right? If this really bothers you right now, that these dishes are all out, we're going to get to the halachas of washing dishes over the kitchen or over the table, whatever bothers you, and this bothers you right now, then it's not considered an after Shabbos need. This is considered a Shabbos need, because for me this really bothers. Personally, it doesn't bother me that, you know, my table is dirty and my playroom is a mess. You know, I like it clean for sure. If you give me a choice, clean or not clean, of course I would choose clean. But during the week, I don't rush to clean things right away. And even other people, they don't have to be that they rush to clean, but still, they like to have it clean. It bothers them when it's messy. So fine. So then they would be permitted to have these things. My mother is totally like that. She never leaves the house with a dirty dish in the sink, ever. Ever. I think there was one time she had to rush to the airport, something happened, she had to rush to the airport, like it was like the first time ever, and I was like, everyone was talking about it, like she had like a dirty day. She's very organized, so that's the way she is, but she still doesn't clean the table for Shalosh Shuddos, because, you know, 20 minutes, a half hour, 45 minutes, whatever it is, to have the table dirty, you know, for her personally it doesn't bother, but technically speaking, if somebody really bothers them honestly, then also that would be permitted.
So is that the common thread? If it really bothers you, then it's permitted.
Regardless
of the issue.
Right, because if it's considered, then I'm cleaning this up now because this bothers me now. Right now, I don't like my house like this. I don't like my table like this. I can't stay at my table like this for another 20 minutes. Then you're allowed to clean it because you're not doing it for after Shabbos. You're doing it for now. Okay. Yeah, that is the letter of the law. If a person needs to be careful. Like, are they really doing it because of that, or they're really doing it because they're trying to get a head start on the Matzah Shabbos cleaning? Every person has to be honest. Hashem knows, like, that's what everyone says. Hashem knows, right? So, you know, a person needs to know what's in their mind. But something for sure, like you said, like hanging up the clothes and making the bed, those are standard. They have plenty of people that they just always do that, and then that's just considered their. They like it like that, and then they'll be permitted to do on Shabbos.
I was also told that you should have your bed made on Shabbos. Should be nice.
It should be, yeah, quite possible. Yeah, that there's an Indian to have, you know, the, you know, to have pretty the house, you know, right. Set nicely for Shabbos. Yeah, at least when Shabbos enters, you know, that in my house we're makbid on. You know, the beds are made. At least my wife is, you know, but the beds are made going into Shabbos. But when a person wakes up Shabbos morning or wakes up from the Shabbos afternoon nap, so then, you know, not as many people are makbid about it. But that depends on each person. The truth is, if you think about it, there are some cases that you're allowed to do things even though it's 100% for after Shabbos. And I'm sure you do this all the time, and it's permitted, and we'll explain why. When you, let's say, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Shabbos afternoon, you go to the refrigerator and you take a cup of, you know, a bottle of juice, a bottle of soda, you pour yourself a drink, and you drink, and you know that you're not using this soda again on Shabbos. You're not planning on serving up a Shabbos to this. Or or a juice, or you take, let's say, a sefer from the shelf on Shabbos. Shabbos morning, you finish davening, you put the sitter back on the shelf. When's the next time you're going to use the sitter? Okay, let's say you daven mincha, but let's say when you finish mincha, you put the sitter back on the shelf. When is the next time you're using that sitter? Tomorrow morning, when you daven Sunday morning. So really, if you think about it, you're doing something for after Shabbos, and it has nothing to do with spoiled or anything like that. Oh, you're putting away the sefer. Why am I putting the sefer over there? That's really, you're thinking about it, that's for after Shabbos. But that is permitted. Why is that permitted? So the Peskim say, something that doesn't need any conscious decision whatsoever. It's just totally 100% natural. I take a drink from the refrigerator, I put it back in the refrigerator. I take a sefer or a book from the shelf, I put it back on the shelf. Why? Because that's where it belongs. That's where I'll be able to find it the next time. That's not something that you need to make a conscious decision that we're saying, oh, since you did it and you did it for after Shabbos, so then that's considered improper on Shabbos. That is just something absolutely 100% natural. So therefore we say that is permitted. That's not considered like a tircha, like we said before, that preparing hachana is a subcategory of tircha, of doing extra trouble and extra bother, a chore on Shabbos. That's not considered a chore to put the sefer back on the shelf or to put the soda back in the fridge. Something like cleaning the table is, even though, yes, I'm also putting things back in the fridge, let's say besides the spoiled things, but if I'm also putting things back in the fridge, but that's, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, that's a conscious decision. That, you know, now you need to decide, I'm going to clean the table. That is considered something that if you're really doing it for after Shabbos, that's considered improper. Also something about a nap. Sorry?
Loading the dishwasher.
So what exactly are you referring to? We're going to get to the halachas of washing dishes. Loading the dishwasher is the same type of thing. If you are cleaning the table Friday night, right? You're going to eat here Shabbos morning and you want to clean the table Friday night. So you want to put the dishes somewhere. So where are you going to put the dishes? So if it's out on the counter and it's going to bother you, and because it's messy, all the dirty dishes there, so you're allowed to put it in the dishwasher because you don't want it to be visible. Now, as far as the washing the dishes, okay, we're going to get to that shortly. We'll see how much of washing dishes we could accomplish tonight. But we're going to get to putting away the stuff in the dishwasher. If it bothers you to be visible, you're allowed to put it in the dishwasher.
But the question is, can you clean off the dishes to put them in the dishwasher?
Exactly. Very good question. We're going to get to that. Okay. We're going to discuss that. Very good question. It's a big discussion in the Peskim. We'll get to that shortly. Hopefully. Just one last thing, as far as taking a nap, even though we said before that if something is just considered natural, it's not a chore, then it's permitted, but taking a nap for after Shabbos purposes, that is not allowed, that you shouldn't say you're doing it for after Shabbos, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach explains, because then you need also to make a conscious decision that I'm going to go upstairs, even if I stay in my clothing, but I just plop on the bed. But that is a conscious decision to go ahead and take a nap. So therefore, it's not proper to say that you're doing it for after Shabbos. But just simply putting something back in the refrigerator that I'm holding in my hand, or simply putting a sefer back on the shelf, that we say is not a problem. Okay, so now... I think that covers that. So now let's discuss a few halachas of washing dishes and things like dishwashers and things like that. So, you use the dishes Friday night, and you want to be able to know, can I wash these dishes or not? So it's going to depend if you're going to use, if you may need to use these dishes on Shabbos or not. Meaning, let's say I use my dishes on Friday night, and I'm totally not going to be using these dishes whatsoever. I'm eating out Shabbos day, and Shal Shudis, I always use paper plates. So I'm washing these dishes Friday night. For what? For what purpose? If I'm washing it just so that this way, Matzah Shabbos, I won't have to do it, I won't have to take care of it after Shabbos, so then that is not permitted. But there's many situations of, let's say, I want to wash my dishes, let's say cups. Something that I may need more cups throughout Shabbos. So then that is permitted, since I may end up needing these cups. So I'm allowed to wash the dishes, wash cups Shabbos morning, since I may need to take a drink on Shabbos afternoon. Then we say that that is permitted. It doesn't have to be that you know you're going to use these dishes, as long as you may use these dishes. Let's say, a common question. Let's say you have 12 plates, right? You have a dish set of 12. And let's say you use 4 plates Friday night. And Shabbos day, well, let's keep it a simple case for a second. You have 12 plates and you use all 12 Friday night. So all 12 are dirty. Shabbos day, you're not having any guests. You had lots of guests Friday night and you used all 12 of your plates. So Shabbos day, you know, you're not having any guests. All you're using is 2 plates. All you're using is 2 plates. So how many of your 12 dishes are you allowed to wash? Are you allowed to wash 2, because all I need for tomorrow Shabbos day is 2, or am I allowed to wash all 12? So the halacha is you're allowed to wash all 12. Because since I could use any 2 of these plates, so the halacha is that I'm allowed to wash all 12. Even though really in the back of your mind you're doing this just because I have time Friday night and I don't want to have to do it Matzah Shabbos, but since you could use any 2 of these 12 plates, so you're allowed to wash all 12 plates. That is case number one. That's a simple case, and that's a big leniency, that since I could say, I don't know which 2 plates I'm going to use, I'm allowed to wash all 12 because I could be using any 2 of these plates. Another halacha. Let's say Friday night, I don't use all 12 plates. I use 4 plates. So Shabbos day, let's say, I also need 4 plates. I have 4 people in my family, let's say, and I used 4 Friday night, and I'm going to be using 4 Shabbos day. So what's the halacha? Am I allowed to wash those dishes Friday night, those 4 dishes, and use those 4 the next day? Or do we say, no, wait a second, you have 8 clean plates. Why are you washing those 4 dishes? Use 4 from the other 8. So over there, most places can say that it's permitted. I'm allowed to wash these 4 dishes, even though I have 4 other dishes in my break front or, you know, wherever I keep them. I'm still allowed to wash those first 4 dishes, even though the point really is in the back of my mind that I know I don't want to have 8 dishes to wash Matzah Shabbos. I'd rather have only 4. So let me just wash these 4, and then I'll use those 4 again for tomorrow. So Paiskim say that that is permitted. However, there are plenty of Paiskim that say that it is a Midas Chasidus. It is considered nice to not rely on that and to not wash those 4 dishes. And instead, use 4 clean dishes that you have, and then after Shabbos, you use all 8. But
what if your thought is different? In other words, it's just you don't want to have those dirty dishes lying around.
Oh, so
not,
if you right,
not,
so
not to the point that you that
exactly.
You can use for the dishwasher.
So that's similar to what she wanted to know, I think, as far as putting in the dishwasher. If you have dishes lying around, right, and you don't plan on using them whatsoever, so but just dirty dishes on the counter, or even if they're in the sink, dirty dishes in the sink bother me, and especially they may attract bugs, and I don't want dirty dishes in the sink. It bothers me whatsoever. And let's say I know for a fact I'm not going to use these dishes. So the halacha is that if it bothers you very much, then you're allowed to get rid of them. How do you get rid of them? So one way to get rid of them is to wash them and put them away. So then that would be permitted. If it bothers you to have dirty dishes in the sink the rest of Shabbos, that would be permitted. However, the place can say that if you have another option, such as just putting the dishes in the dishwasher, then they're out of sight, and out of sight, out of mind, so then you should preferably do that. You shouldn't go ahead and wash the dishes if really the only point of you doing it is just because you don't want to see it, then why do you have to wash them? You could just put them away in the dishwasher. It's much less of an act, and therefore it's perhaps better to put them in the dishwasher, or you could put them in the oven. An oven is not And you're allowed to open up the oven door and put them in the oven. That's where my wife keeps the crock pot every Shabbos. She doesn't want the crock pot sitting out, you know, on the counter the whole Shabbos afternoon. It's not pretty. It's not nice. The dishwasher, it's, you know, there's usually not much room left in the dishwasher to put the crock pot. So she doesn't want it sitting in the sink either. But I'm not going to wash it right now, so she puts it in the oven. The oven is a klisha malachta le'iser, and it's mutal le'tarach gufa. So you're allowed to open up the oven, and you can put it inside the oven if you just don't want it to be seen. After Shabbos, you take it out. Then
you forget it's there.
Then you forget it there. One time my wife turned on the oven and then she smelled something burning, and there was really like a plastic bowl in there, something that she had put there from Shabbos, like one of these hard plastic bowls. So we had to throw it out. It was like stuck to the side of the oven.
Yes.
But okay, yeah. So you get used to it. You won't forget. If, let's say, you have other dishes that are more expensive, meaning, let's say, you have regular Shabbos dishes that you use, but then you have, like, let's say, fancy China dishes that you use for special guests, or let's say for a special Yom Tov or something like that. So let's say if I have all my regular Shabbos dishes are dirty, I'm allowed to wash those Shabbos dishes. I'm not obligated to use my extra fancy dishes because these are not the dishes that I generally use on Shabbos. I'm allowed to wash those dishes. I mean, let's say I use all 12. So, and I need all 12. So, or even if I need just two, I'm allowed to wash all of them. We don't tell you that you need to use your other dishes. And similarly, we know that there's big spoons and little spoons. There's big forks and little forks. So let's say Friday night, I used up all my small forks. So, and Shabbos day, I also want to use small forks because I'm serving gefilte fish. Again, Shabbos day, so I used up all my small forks because I still have big forks. I'm allowed to wash those small forks. We don't tell you, oh, you have to use your big forks because those are clean. You use the regular silverware and the regular china and the regular glasses that you normally use because we say that that's not considered you're preparing for after Shabbos. I want to use these dishes because that's the normal way to use. I'm not obligated to eat my soup with a small spoon or things like that. I'm allowed to use the normal way that I usually do.
Let's say you wash dishes and you end up not using them Shabbos lunch. Can you put them away?
You wash dishes. Say that again.
In other words, let's say I wash dishes.
All 12 dishes Friday night.
Right. I wash them all, and because I knew I was going to use them again.
Okay.
And then it happens that
The guests didn't show up.
Like I washed soup bowls and I thought I was going to use them for serving, but I didn't use them.
Okay.
Can I put my soup bowls away?
I would imagine that would be similar to the halacha of like putting a sefer back on the shelf. Meaning if the bowls are already dry and they're already clean, they're on the counter, and you just take them and put them away, I would imagine that's not a problem. Because
so
that's not considered...
If I finish using my Kiddush cups Shabbos lunch, and then it's Shalosh Shudas time, they're sitting around and they're dry, can I put them back in the break room?
You know, I mean, if you say it like that, I would. I'm not sure. It's a good question.
So the challah board. I'm not using my challah board challah shudas, and I finished using it at lunch. Can I put it back?
If it's somewhere where it doesn't bother you whatsoever, it doesn't bother you as far as you don't need that spot, and it's just simply because you're starting to clean up for after Shabbos, like the you know, the Kiddush cups and the challah tray, I would think that you know, should be avoided.
Okay.
Something like regular bowls that are just, you know, put back in the cabinet right over here, I know for some reason my heart tells me like that would be okay. But when you start saying about like the Kiddush cups and the challah tray, that's usually like an after Shabbos activity of putting away all the Shabbos kelim, all the Shabbos utensils. That, you know, sounds to me, you know, not, you know, that should be avoided. That's how I think. The bowls could be, that would be permitted.
What are the Shabbos bowls? I only use my china on Shabbos.
Right. So anything that I would think that's something that's like a Shabbos dish, you know, that's part of, you know, your after Shabbos cleaning. You know, preferably I would say that you know, that should be avoided.
Unless it really bothers you.
Right. Unless, again, like it really bothers you that it's in the or especially if it's in the way of something that you need that area. So then for sure that would be permitted, or if it really bothers you. One last thing, which we'll stop with this, is like you wanted to know as far as rinsing and soaking.
Right.
So technically there are those that say that, let's say I have a chrein dish. Now, if I leave this chrein dish till after Shabbos, it is going to be very hard to wash after Shabbos. It's going to get sticky to it. Let's say I have gravy. I serve, let's say, chicken cutlets with gravy in it. So it's going to get stuck to the bowl or something like that. So there are those that say, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who is definitely someone, you know, we could rely on, that if you're just rinsing it off, you're not going to fully wash it, but you just rinse it off so it shouldn't get stuck hard. So then after Shabbos, it'll be easier for me to wash. So then Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that that's permitted. Because you're not considered as if I'm like washing it now for after Shabbos. I'm just doing something to make it easier for after Shabbos. I'm not really doing an act that's for after Shabbos. I'm just, you know, I'm preventing it from getting harder. I'm preventing it from getting it worse. I'm preventing it from getting it sticky and the chrein and the gravy and the sauce or whatever it is to get hard. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that's permitted. Other places can say that you should not do that, because after all, I'm preventing it from getting harder, so my after Shabbos cleaning should be easier. So there are those that say that that's not permitted. If a person really wants to do it, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says you could do it. I'm sorry?
Like a
chon pot, right? Also, it gets hard and sticks to it. Right. So if you wait till after Shabbos, you don't touch it till after Shabbos, it's going to be much harder to wash after Shabbos. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that's allowed, because you're just preventing for after Shabbos. Others say it's not permitted. What Paiskim say you could do to, what we say, Yotzel Chaladeyas, to fulfill everybody, is what a person could do is one of two things. Is if you just put it in the sink, and then when you open up the faucet for other reasons to wash your hands, or for other reasons to wash your hands, then automatically the water just goes on those items. Meaning I have to put this chrein dish somewhere, so I'll put it in the sink. And then I put it purposely right underneath the faucet. And then when we wash our hands for Shalosh Shudas, so then automatically it'll fall on it. Another option is that, let's say there's a bowl in the, you can't go ahead and put a bowl of water in the sink, because that's the same idea. You're preparing for afterwards. That would come into the same machlokas. But if already there's a bowl of water in the sink, or if you put a bowl of water or soapy water in the sink beforehand, then when you're putting this chrein dish, I have to put it somewhere, so I'll put it in the sink, I'll put it in that bowl of water, in that bowl of soapy water, and then that'll also prevent it from sticking. Let's say you just have a bowl with water in the sink from before. I have a salad bowl that was filled up with water because I was, through washing it got filled up. So I'll put the chrein dish in there, or the gravy in there. A crock pot, it's hard, it's a little big. But if you could put the crock pot in the sink, let's say the crock pot doesn't bother you when it's in the sink. You put it in the sink, when everybody washes their hands throughout the day, mashallah, the water will automatically go in the crock pot, and then, some of the residue, will go off. If it doesn't go off and you want to go ahead and scrape it off to prevent for after Shabbos, again, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach would say it's permitted. Others say it's better not to. So, depends what type of mood you're in. But you can't specifically go ahead and fill it up with soap. I mean, you can, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, but it will be the same machlokas, because I'm actually going and doing a positive act for the purpose of preventing it to make it harder for later. So then that would come and fall into the same machlokas. But if you want to avoid it, then if there's already a bottle, a pan of water, or you could just place it there, and then the faucet goes on there automatically. Okay, Bez Hashem, next week we just finish up a few halachas as far as dishwasher, putting things in the dishwasher, and other halachas of drying, washing dishes on Shabbos. Perhaps if a person has a goyim in the house, can they wash dishes for me on Shabbos? Yes or no? Different situations. And then maybe we'll discuss some halachas of Purim, because next week will be Tuesday night, and Purim is Thursday, Mitzvah Hashem. So we'll discuss maybe some halachas of that, and then maybe we'll say something nice about Purim. Okay.